It's Friday. You're listening to The Impromptu on the Hologram Radio Network, a multifaceted show discussing how technology, art, design, and equality converge on topics that matter most to us. From gaming culture to film and other forms of media, we examine the creative process and how the decisions we make shape our perceptions and lives. I'm Alex Knight, and I am joined by Michael Norton, who's sitting right next to me. Chief Creative Officer. What a fancy title. How's it going?
Pretty good. Feeling like gloating just a little bit.
Gloating? What's there to gloat about?
Well, a certain smartphone manufacturer from South Korea has made a grievous error. They made fun of Apple for supposedly removing the headphone jack a while ago when they announced their new Galaxy Note 7 phone, making a point of saying how, ooh, look, our phone has a headphone jack. Isn't that great, guys? Ha ha ha. Well, this week it's not so funny anymore. And it's not so funny anymore because every Galaxy Note 7 currently in a user's hand or pocket or table has been recalled. Full worldwide global recall for all Galaxy Note 7 units. The carriers have stopped selling them. Samsung has stopped selling them. Best Buy and various other retailers have stopped selling them. And everyone that currently owns one is being asked to go to their carrier or directly to Samsung, and you'll be taken care of, hopefully. And the reason for the recall is that the Galaxy Note 7 may randomly explode.
Well, that's not a good thing.
It. Yes.
So this is really bad timing for them because there's a...
This is the worst of all possible timings.
Right. We have the iPhone launch on this, what is it, the 7th?
Yep.
And to have this new product be recalled, this is... I feel bad for them.
Yeah, it's like...
Because recalls can happen to anyone.
Yeah, I mean, as an Apple fan, I have longed for Apple to defeat Samsung. But for them to win in this way, it's like, but we'll take it.
But why does Apple need to win? Like, it's fine if Apple makes good products, but I mean, don't you think competition is a good thing?
Competition's a good thing.
Isn't there space enough in this market for both?
Of course, but my problem with Samsung, as I have stated ad nauseum, is that they, A, have no taste, B, they slavishly copy design from other companies, especially Apple, and yeah, they just make also ran products that try to emulate better products, and now it's seemingly caught up with them at last, because they... In their July earnings, they basically said, we're going to rush this to market to beat Apple. We're going to get the Note 7 out. We skipped a number. It would have been the Note 6, but we're calling it the Note 7 because the iPhone 7 is out this year. More hubris, layering on the hubris.
You're really enjoying this, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, so much. And in their July earnings, they were basically like, our entire everything is depending on selling this phone a lot. So, yeah. Now that they have to recall all of them, A, they've lost momentum. B, their brand is damaged. Users will not trust them as much now. People will consider leaving Samsung and switching for something else. Because one of Samsung's fundamental flaws is they have no brand loyalty and they have no lock-in.
I don't know if there's no brand loyalty. I've met quite a few Samsung users, family included, who love their Samsung Galaxy phones. And they're always praising how they'll never go back to iPhone or
There may be a few, but market data shows that essentially as long as there's some alternative, like a cheap, really well-made Android phone, people will switch.
Oh, I'm not saying that it doesn't happen. And certainly, like, this may be the straw that breaks the camel's back. Like, this is a pretty catastrophic thing. Like,
yeah, like, it was always kind of bad for Samsung to begin with. Like, their phones routinely have the highest number of returns for any Android device. Yeah. People get them and they return them because they're slow or there's serious performance issues. The latest phone is no different. The Verge rated it 9.3 and said it was great, but then in real world benchmarking, it actually has severe lag and app time load.
Well, that shouldn't be news to anyone. I mean, I picked up, you know what? Every time Samsung releases a new Galaxy phone, I always go and try it, and I'm always disappointed by the performance. Not that they don't have fantastic hardware inside, but, you know, we've talked about this, I think, before ad nauseum on this podcast, too, about the issues that are fundamental to the way Android OS is designed. But, you know, the issue is compounded when you're adding this extra skinning layer on top of it. And TouchWiz has been notoriously bad for that, not to mention all the junk that they preload on those phones. And, you know, if you just root any Galaxy phone and put vanilla Android, it performs way better.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
So,
it's just they keep doing all these things. And then so everything was riding on this. They rushed it. And my guess is they either didn't take the time to do proper QA on the battery, or they tried to cut some corners somewhere, and now it's biting them in the ass because they so desperately wanted to launch the phone before Apple announced anything. And yeah, now there's this huge problem. They're going to spend billions of dollars replacing those phones for free. They've essentially canceled out 2.5 million sales, which is going to completely arrest their momentum. Even if they bounce back from this, it's going to take them a long time to make it back. And Apple 7th, they're announcing their phones, and the phones will be out on the 16th. So even if Samsung starts replacing phones next week and they start shipping phones again at the end of the week, it's not going to matter because Apple is going to pre-sell like X million phones on the first day and instantly be way ahead of them. So yeah, they're kind of screwed this quarter.
Yeah.
And probably next quarter.
Well, let me ask you this, though. But if the same thing happened to all of a sudden tons of people with iPhones, they were exploding. Would, as an iPhone user, as a longtime iPhone user, would that color your opinion about Apple? Would you seriously start to be concerned? And would your brand loyalty waver at all?
Oh, yeah. Of course it would. Like, Apple's entire thing is quality and making sure that their devices always work. And there have been some issues. Like right now, there's a bunch of iPhone 6s out there that are suffering from so-called touch disease.
I remember, wasn't there a thing years ago with certain iPods where they had battery issues and heat issues?
There have been battery
remember
issues.
Remember something about a battery either melting or exploding? There was something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, there have been issues in the past.
But not with the phones, though. I think it was an iPod.
No, there have been issues with iPhones exploding, but in every case, it was somebody using an unauthorized third-party charger.
Ah, that's different.
So that's completely different from this, where the issue seems to be the battery itself.
So brand loyalty really only goes so far, you know, until you're, maybe that is where you draw the line. When my phone explodes, then.
Yeah. So, I mean, and the thing with Apple is, even if your brand loyalty wavers a bit, they have lock-in. They have stickiness to keep you on the phone. iCloud. All of that stuff. It keeps you wanting to use iOS. And if you have a Mac, you've got handoff, you've got continuity, all of these things keep you wanting to use Apple products because having all the Apple products gives you abilities that you wouldn't have normally. Samsung has nothing like that at all. They had, like, everything on a Samsung phone is Google services, and all of the prepackaged Samsung services inevitably fail. Like that whole music streaming thing they tried to do, Milk.
I've never even heard of it.
It's gone. They just shut it down.
Okay.
So, I mean, you get a Samsung phone, you might be loyal to Samsung, you like sure. their hardware, but ultimately there's nothing keeping you on that device. You can just move to a new Android phone and all of your Google stuff will be on that new phone.
I need to read this press release from Samsung because this is just hilarious, because it reads like a press release, but it's like so cookie cutter. Samsung is committed to producing the highest quality products, and we take every incident report from our valued customers very seriously. In response to recently reported cases of the new Galaxy Note 7, we conducted a thorough investigation and found a battery cell issue. To date, there have been 35 cases that have been reported globally, and we are currently conducting a thorough inspection of our suppliers to identify possible affected batteries in the market. However, because our customers' safety is an absolute priority of Samsung, we have stopped sales of the Galaxy Note 7. For customers who already have the Galaxy Note 7 devices, we will voluntarily replace the current device with a new one over the coming weeks. We are working with our carrier partners to announce the details of the U.S. product exchange program as soon as today. We acknowledge the inconvenience this may cause in the market, but this is to ensure that Samsung continues to deliver the highest quality products to our customers. We are working closely with our partners to ensure the replacement experience is as convenient and as efficient as possible.
How lovely. So,
well, I just feel all warm and fuzzy inside.
So subtext there. We fucked up. We fucked up bad. We're going to lose so much fucking money.
But they have money.
Yeah, but they haven't been doing well lately. Let's put it that way. They rely on sales from their new phones to essentially keep everything moving.
How's their appliances department doing?
Well, I mean, all that's great, right? But Samsung Mobile is like a subsidiary, so they have their own resources and
right.
revenue and profit. So I mean, if they go under, they go under. It's not like the rest of Samsung will bail them out.
Sure.
Well, I mean, I guess they could, but yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It, based on the information, it's like there's two possibilities. Either A, they're completely bullshitting about the 0.1% of devices, and the reason they've recalled all of them is because there's way more that this could happen to. Or two, and this is slightly both more and less alarming, they don't know which phones are affected.
That's really
scary. And they have no way of knowing. So they have to recall all of them.
Oh. They could have a real lawsuit on their hands with this. Could you imagine your phone's easily in your front pocket and it explodes?
And you're like charging it with a battery pack? Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh,
this could
that
be
is
really
just frightening.
Bad. This could be really, really bad. My guess is that there will be a class action lawsuit about this, because there always is, even if for something minor. And in this case, honestly, I could see some kind of settlement happening. Or some kind of victory.
I just hope that whoever has the phone sees this news, and that I just don't want anyone to get hurt, because that would be a terrible thing to happen to
have
some seriously like bodily harm come to you because of a phone defect. And I haven't seen any technical information. It probably hasn't been released, and they probably don't want to. But we haven't seen any information about like what the actual issue is in the battery itself. Like what is causing it to explode.
Yeah, and that to me suggests that maybe more phones are affected than they're letting on, because if it's the battery, like a battery is essentially a collection of elements and chemicals, and you put a charge through it and it holds the charge, right?
And of course adding
so,
adding electricity and heat to those chemicals. That's a recipe for disaster if something goes wrong.
Yeah, so it's hard to say exactly what it is. Either A, the chemistry is wrong and...
like an unstable element or something. I don't know. Well, I'm not a battery technician. I mean, making shit up at this point.
Yeah, like either they messed up with the amounts of things that went into the battery mixture, or one of the components that's on the outside of the battery was faulty. So when you tried to charge it, it like... overloaded the voltage and it just sparks the whole thing. It's really hard to say exactly what it is, but if it is specifically the battery, then it's one of those two things. Either it's the chemistry of what's inside the battery, or it's one of the components on the outside of the battery that manages discharging the power and charging the power. But yeah. It's a pretty big problem. Like, I think this is literally the first time a smartphone has been globally recalled completely. Like, there have been limited issues and replacement programs, but nothing like this. This is completely unprecedented.
I have no recollection of anything happening on this kind of scale either. Yeah. You know, you always hear the odd, some, there'll be like minor issues, sometimes like an accessory or something like the Apple. Do you remember years ago that Apple had some issue with the USB AC charger itself, and then they had to like recall, but that's a tiny adapter. That's easy. Yeah. That's not like,
yeah, I remember, you know, that.
I'm sure it cost them actual money to recall them, but that's not catastrophic.
No, it's not.
Because that's not the phone. That's just this little brick that is in the box, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember there was something like that. It wasn't all of them, though. I think it was like... or was it? I don't know. I think it was like ones we made in this particular year or something. And then they fixed it.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see. Now, it'll take some time to see what the aftermath is of this, because... we won't know how this will affect Samsung sales until whatever their next quarterly sales call is.
Yeah.
So like, we don't know, like, what about the next upgrade cycle when people decide to buy, when it's time to buy a new phone, they may think twice about buying a Galaxy phone.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like like I said, this is going to have wide reaching repercussions for at least a year. Like, this quarter is completely ruined. Samsung's earnings are going to be the worst they've ever had because of this recall. And then next quarter, they might bounce back a bit. Then they're going to announce the S8. And who knows how that'll sell because of this. So, I mean, we could be looking at several consecutive quarters of losses.
Yeah,
them.
I think they'll continue to sell products, but without a doubt, this will have some kind of dent in their sales.
Yeah. Like, I think they won't have... like, I think at least the next two quarters, they'll have losses. I don't think they'll have profit. At the very least, this quarter, there won't be any profit. Next quarter, they might manage to get a slim profit, but nothing like they normally get. Meanwhile, Apple will shatter every record forever, all over again. Mm-hmm. Most devices pre-ordered in a single day. Most this.
Yeah, well.
Best launch weekend
That's not
ever.
Even surprising, though. I know. I mean, come on. That happens every year. Yeah. They always shatter those records.
Yeah.
Which mean nothing to me because I don't have $1,000 to blow on a new iPhone every year. Not anymore. Not with a mortgage.
Yeah, I'm just lucky I get a device upgrade thing through work, and then I sell my old phone. So together, that means I pay like contract phone prices for an unlocked
one. Okay, well, I think there we've said probably all there really is to say about this, but let's move on. Is there anything that you want to follow up on from last week? As we, I know we're getting closer, and it seems kind of silly to even talk about anything Apple related, but one thing that you were saying before we started recording was about that whole thing that Tim Cook said a couple of years ago about Appling doubling down on privacy, and you said that you believed it because, even though there is a lot of information that has supposedly been leaked, there's still stuff that we aren't clear on. And there's this whole thing about going back and forth between, are they going to call them AirPods? Like, are they going to have wired lightning earpods in this new iPhone? Are they going to be wireless? And there, it was weird. It's really weird because there's some people that were so sure that it would, it's going to be lightning. And then suddenly it's like, no, there are new sources now saying that it's absolutely going to be wireless. And then, of course, now there was that PR accidental mistake where they leaked some new Beats headphones. So what do you think about all this?
Nothing they've done is accidental. Nothing. It's all completely staged. It's all a narrative that they're creating. And one of the reasons for that is, anytime this stuff leaks, it's always taken with a camera that looks like it's from a 1998 flip phone. There is no HD footage of these parts or supposed chassis or what have you. Like,
yeah,
there's absolutely no incontrovertible high detail proof of these leaks. And that's for a very simple reason, because they're on purpose. When a leak is accidental, when somebody gets something they're not supposed to have, they have a freaking 12 megapixel camera on their iPhone that they can take photos of it with. And they're going to do that. Perfect case in point, the PS4 Slim leak. Somebody somehow managed to get one.
I was shocked when I saw
this. Ahead of street date. Like, it's probably coming out next week with the Sony press conference that's also on the 7th. They're probably going to announce it and be like, yeah, it'll be in stores this Friday. So somehow there's already a bunch of them in stores.
And the guy did a video review. Yeah. I don't know if it got taken down, but
yeah, like it's all over the place now. And then somebody else got one and did a review.
I thought it was so fake. At some point, I'm like, this has to be a lab. Like, there's no way it would leak so close to the, but apparently.
But the thing is, it's a real leak, and it's all HD high quality photos and video of it. They have it turning on. They have it going through the UI. They've got high-res shots of the entire chassis and everything. Like, that's how you know a real leak. Because people these days have access to extremely high-quality media capture equipment. Like, even their smartphone. Like, a smartphone is capable of taking photos that are way better than the stuff we're seeing in these supposed Apple leaks. So what that says to me is, it's deliberate to kind of obfuscate things.
Okay.
And just be like, yeah, you want to see an Apple part? Check this out. And it's like this
this tends to happen often, but what about these parts that get leaked directly from the supply chain itself? Like, thought I remember seeing photos of like the actual chassis designed for the iPhone 7, and they were very high quality photos.
So the only one that I think is real, there is one I think it's real. The only one is a shot of an unanodized chassis where the Apple logo is just a little circle that they're going to cut the fill in for later. That one I think is real. But everything else that's been leaked, the antenna lines are painted on. You can tell.
Oh, I didn't pay close attention to that.
Yeah, like, 9 out of 10 of these have been like these weird fake shells that people have made based on hearsay or blueprints. Like, they've just kind of made these things. And you look at the antenna line and it's like where it like comes up and curves around the bottom or the top of the phone, you can actually see like an overlay where they painted the line that goes up from the other side and then painted from there to go around.
Interesting.
Like there's this little thing and you can tell. There's no like divot on either side where it's like, yeah, this is an actual line of plastic going between the metal. It's like very obvious if you look closely enough. So we have not actually seen any real parts. The only parts that have actually leaked are maybe that unfinished chassis and a like unfinished logic board. That's it. That's all we've seen. That's
thought it was there was way more than that. But then if that's the case, and I believe what you're saying, then you're right. Then the secrecy thing has been doing its job.
Yeah. Like in previous years, we had enough parts to basically build the damn thing ourselves. Like,
well, I remember
the logic
all those,
board would leak and the chassis
right.
would
Mark
leak.
Mark Gurman had all those scoops
the
all the time.
The screen with, would yeah. leak. Like all the parts would leak and you could basically put together a brand new iPhone by yourself with all the parts that had leaked.
Yeah.
This time it's like we have an unfinished chassis, an unfinished logic board, and a bunch of fake shells that people have made by painting on lines. That's it. Everything else we know is according to sources or a person familiar with the matter said.
Yeah, I love that line. That's classic.
So if that's the case, then Apple is effectively managing the entire Apple leak industry. They are releasing what they want to release when they want to release it.
Why do this at all, though? What do they get out of that?
They get press. They get
aren't they always going to get press regardless?
They do.
Don't people always get excited about the new event every year?
Yes, but if they didn't do the leaks, people would only get excited when they hand out the invites.
Yeah. And what about
so this keeps it going year round.
And
it
so
keeps the hype moving.
That is understandable. But what is going on with the next hardware version of Apple Watch? It seems like nothing. There's absolutely no news about
that. That's what I was going to say after.
I'm really surprised.
So this is how you really know that they're secure. Zero Apple Watch 2 leaks. Actually, no, sorry. The other day, a screen leaked. That's it. And even then, it may or may not be real. It looks real to me, but we'll find out, I guess. Essentially, it's way thinner. They've killed the air gap. It looks like the bezels are thinner. So a larger screen with a larger resolution. Yeah, it's hard to say if it's a legit part. It looks legit to me. But I mean, with 5 days to go, that's a pretty good track record.
It's interesting. You know, is there anything that we can glean from the leaked shots of these new Beats? They appear to be wireless earbuds. They actually say, I just zoomed in on the image and it says Power Beats. They don't have any model name Power Beats,
yeah,
do they?
Yeah, they do. That story is using just stock images. It's not actually anything.
I see.
Yeah. It was just a press release that had the invite photo and it was just like, stay tuned for information about new Beats headphones at the Apple event. That was the gist of it.
I'm sure Apple's going to move the entire lineup of wired Beats headphones to Lightning. They have to.
Lightning or wireless, yeah.
But no, they can't have all wireless because there's a premium. That's how they differentiate between the wireless products are always way more expensive. Why would they make all of them?
The current ones,
They need to have the cheaper models, right?
Do they?
Well, they could call those products from their lineup because the Beats lineup is quite wide right now.
It is. So what I'm thinking is they keep some of the old ones, but then there's a new line of Apple Beats headphones. And these ones are entirely wireless, but you can charge them by plugging in a lightning cable that allows you to still use them. So you can go from wireless to wired whenever you want, basically.
Would they keep the higher end $400 quote unquote studio beats, do you think?
Oh yeah. Like I think they'll keep to that. They'll have,
like, maybe that's how they differentiate, is just the audio quality, not the actual connectivity part.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. And
that sounds reasonable.
It has nothing to do with the quality. It's basically like the type of headphones, like full range reference on ear. Or no.
Yeah, like more like studio monitoring headphones.
Always cost more.
Sure.
So like you have, so from the bottom end of the spectrum to the top, it's like you have your earbuds, then you have your in-ear monitors, then you have your mid-size on-ear headphones.
Which is, I think, the Solo 2s.
Yeah, more or less. And then, of course, your full-size over-ear headphones. And then, of course, in there, there's various different things. There's open, there's closed, there's
different
driver techs. But ultimately, I could see them releasing basically three or four new headphone products. And that would be like the new line.
And then eventually wired goes everything. Away. Like they won't do it right away, but eventually
they'll be wireless. I would almost bet that they'll be wireless.
No, I'm saying eventually they will replace all the wired headphones. Like eventually we will have wireless headphones, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that the next logical transition?
So I don't know what they're going to do with the old ones. I think they probably kill all the ones that have 3.5 millimeter jacks.
Yeah.
So all of those old Beats basically go away. Then they have the new line of wireless ones, and then they'll probably have like one or two cheap lightning wired ones if you still want wired. Something like that. Like maybe they'll do a Solo wired and a Power Beats wired, or like those ones that are like little metallic bullets, the like cheaper earbuds that they do. But yeah, I think they're going to do a new flagship line where it's like, these are wireless, but you can plug them in with a lightning cable and they'll still let you listen to music while you're charging them. And then of course there will be the AirPod wireless earbuds that may or may not ship with the iPhone. That seems to be up in the air. What we do know is that they exist.
My question, which is, this is totally perplexing to me, why Apple still sells their higher end, quote unquote, or they originally they were higher end, $80 or $90 in-ear buds, which are actually so old now that they actually, when the ear pods came out, I'm pretty sure that the sound quality of the ear pods are better than the in-ear $80 ones.
That
was my impression.
Yeah, I think,
and they still sell them.
I think those will go away with this announcement. Like they'll just quietly remove them from the store, and then they'll have the new Beats and the AirPods and the EarPods. Maybe, like that's the thing. This is still up in the air. Either the iPhone will ship with Lightning AirPods, or they'll all ship with AirPods, or the iPhone 7 ships with EarPods, and the iPhone 7 Plus ships with AirPods. It, like, at this point, we really don't know for sure what they're going to do. All that we know is that the headphone jack is going away. And either they have Lightning headphones, or they have wireless headphones, or both, or neither, or who knows. Like, it's a complete toss-up what's going to happen there. But my gut feeling is that Apple truly believes that wireless is the future, and whether or not all the iPhones ship with them, I think there's a good chance the Plus will ship with them. And if not, then they'll be fairly affordable so that people can buy them and have these really great wireless earbuds with a charging case. Because the Braggy Dash, like the closest product to what I think Apple's going to announce is the Braggy Dash, which currently sells for $299. and it lasts for about 6 hours or 4 hours. And then you have a charging case that can recharge them like, I want to say 3 or 4 times.
I'm not familiar with this product. Say the name again. It sounded like
the
weird
Braggy
name.
Dash.
Braggy
B-R-A-G-I. Dash. So their earbuds are completely wireless, just like these are going to be, supposedly. And they last for about 6 hours. Then you can put them in the charge case. Their charge case, unlike Apple's, is, well, rumored, is not wireless. Apple's charging case supposedly wirelessly charges the AirPods.
I'm just looking at them now. They have a nice design. They kind of look almost alien, like futuristic looking.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they are pretty cool. The sides of them are actually touch controls, so you can tap the side of the dash and it'll play pause.
That's really cool.
And then you can double tap for next track or triple tap for previous
track. Is it touch based or is
it actually
physical?
Button? Yeah, it's touch.
Really? Because I've always found a lot of I've never really liked any headphones that have
a little button.
Yeah, the little
chiclet.
Because
it pushes more into your ear.
Well, it's not just that, but it's like feeling around for where the button is, and then do you hit the right one or not?
So I got this $30 pair of wireless earbuds from Amazon. They're pretty decent, but yeah, they have a button like right on the side of the right earbud to power them on and off and to do other stuff. And yeah, they're kind of annoying.
These earbuds are expensive. They're $300 US.
Yep. So my guess is Apple's definitely going to undercut them. I'm thinking
the battery life is shit on these. It says three plus hour battery life.
Oh yeah,
that's nothing.
Right. And then you have to use the charging case to get the rest of the time.
I'm sorry, if you have anything less than 10 hours, this is why I don't buy wireless headphones, period.
So this is where the other part of the rumor comes in. Like, regardless of what ends up happening, there is supposedly a new Bluetooth chip that Apple has created called the W1. And the W1 supposedly uses 1/10 the power of a normal Bluetooth 4 low energy chip. 1/10 of the power.
That's significant.
Because, the rumor didn't include this, but Apple bought a semiconductor company a year or two ago. And their claim to fame was making, you guessed it, low energy, high efficiency chips. So.
Wow, they're going to put that to good use.
Yeah. So my guess is they've had them working on making way more efficient wireless chips, and this will have wide reaching repercussions throughout their entire product line. Like, if the W1 exists, it won't just be for the AirPods. It'll be for the iPhone. It'll be for the watch, especially, and the Macs. Because Bluetooth normally takes up a lot of energy. Like, even BTLE uses quite a lot of power, considering. So if they've been able to get it down to 1/10 of that, like, the watch battery life could increase by like at least 25% just from doing that. So 18 hours goes to a solid 24.
That'd be incredible.
And that's before even messing with the battery size, which is supposedly happening in the Apple Watch too. They've actually increased the size of the battery by several hundred mAh. You couple this chip with a larger battery and subtract a little because they're going to have GPS in it, supposedly. But we're still likely looking at a solid 24 hours for the Apple Watch too. Versus the existing 18 hours.
Do you think that releasing a new hardware version of the Apple Watch without any kind of cellular activity will be cellular chip with cellular data? Do you think that that is going to be an issue for Apple?
No.
Because other smart watch manufacturers are doing that now.
They are. But
I'm not saying their implementation is great. I'm just, obviously people want to have a watch with that is decoupled from the phone, right?
To me, people think they want it, but it's like you take your phone with you anyway. So having that data connection is useful.
Like how many times really realistically are you without your phone? Like maybe if you go for a jog, you might not want to carry the phone.
Yeah. And
but that's like, that's,
they're solving that use case anyways, because the Apple Watch 2 is going to have GPS. So it can track your run really easily without needing cellular data.
Right. Okay. There we go.
So, I mean, they've kind of solved that use case. So otherwise it's like, you're going to have your phone with you more often than not. So, I mean, it's not really going to be a huge area of friction. It's just one of those things where it's like, sure, eventually it might be nice, but ultimately it's going to be okay for the next few years if it doesn't have it. And the problem with having it, as these other smartwatches have found, is that it drastically cuts into battery life. Yeah, I'm not sure how many hours the new Gear 3 lasts. The LTE model, because they don't just do LTE only. They have Wi-Fi.
Is that made by Samsung?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, have they blown up yet?
No, not yet, but you can put them in a glass of water, so.
Imagine the burn marks on your wrist.
Yeah, that would be bad. Hopefully they didn't put the same batteries in there.
The Gear S3, is that the one?
I think so, yeah.
It's fancy. But of course, these product images are so perfectly photographed.
I have to say, I've never really been a fan of the Gear. Like their industrial design just seems to look like a $10 watch you'd get at a night market or something. Like it doesn't look particularly fancy. It just looks like a really cheap wristwatch that you could get anywhere.
This to me looks like a ripoff of watchOS.
Oh yeah, big time. Yeah. Only it's a rotary dial. See, you twist it and stuff happens. It's kind of like the digital crown, but not really, because it's the whole face.
What do you think of smartwatches with a round face?
Do you think
that's a better design than the current?
I think it's highly skeuomorphic. I think people think they want it, but ultimately, square is a superior design for smartwatches. And I think we've gone over this before,
yeah,
but
we have,
like, a square screen is better for displaying content. And the whole point of a
computer
watch is to display content. Like,
it's not an analog watch. You need to get over
the time. Telling the time is like secondary to most of what the watch is good for.
Right.
Like, it's just like the iPhone. Sure, it's a phone, but that's like 1% of what you use it for. And it's the same with a smartwatch. Like, telling the time is incidental. It's all about being able to get notifications right when they happen. Having something that allows you to keep your phone in your pocket more, or leave it on a table and still be notified if stuff is happening, that kind of thing. And for that kind of interaction, a square screen is vastly superior, because as we've seen with Android Wear, with a round screen, stuff gets cut off really bizarrely. And then you have ones that are trying to put a whole keyboard in there.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Like, are they drunk?
Yeah. Like, watchOS 3 has a way superior method. Like, sure, it's slow, but it's good for quickly typing out, like, short messages, the new scribble feature. So
actually, you know, Michael, I think with I really want a smartwatch with a FireWire port on it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You got to get that 800 megabit per second transfer speed.
But, you know, you raised a good point about skeuomorphic design. That is because you have to treat a smartwatch as a completely different product. It is not a analog watch.
Yeah. Exactly.
With a computer. It's a computer with a watch.
Yep.
The other way around. It is a computer first, and it needs to be treated as such, as a digital device displaying information.
Yep.
And a round face simply does not work optimally for that.
Nope.
Would you buy a computer with a circular display? No.
The iDisc.
It would be ridiculous.
The MacBook disc coming to you soon.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's absurd. Like, the only reason they do it is because they think people want it. Because normally people buy watches that are round.
Right, right.
Square watches aren't, like, a thing, really. Like, there are a few, but not a lot of them. The majority are round. But, of course, smartwatches, square makes more sense. But all these companies aren't doing it. And as a result, Android Wear is, like, ridiculously shoehorned into it. It's like they have Circle as a size class, but the UI is just so bad. Like, they basically take all the square content and then shove it up into a circle, and you end up scrolling and it's just like right on this circular edge, and it's just letters get cut off and content gets cut off, and like, I've seen some pretty bad screenshots of it.
I love the web page here for the Gear S3. It says, "Go days without charging. It's truly liberating to have a battery that lasts long enough for you to go on a trip without a charger." And then right underneath says, "Battery life may vary depending on usage and settings."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like if you have LTE turned on, for example, probably.
Now, it says here the watch is, the Gear is equipped with a 380 milliamp battery, and then it says in parentheses 3 to 4 days, but that's got to be standby time.
Yeah.
There's no way with LTE, and I can't find any information on here about LTE battery life.
Yeah, like, I bet they do some kind of, like, black and white thing, like,
Yeah, they're claiming 4-day battery life, but there's no way with LTE usage.
Because, like, yeah, the Apple Watch technically lasts for 4 days if you put it in power reserve mode, where it just displays the time.
Dual 1 gigahertz in a watch? How do they get that in there?
Yeah, that amount of days has to be some kind of thing. It's probably not, like, using it the way you would use an Apple Watch. It's probably some kind of standby mode where it, like, does the absolute minimum. I can't imagine it
displays
actually
a watch
lasts.
Face, and that's it. That's all you can do is tell the time.
Well, yeah, like, that's what Apple Watch Power Reserve mode is. Right. All you can see is what time it is. That's it.
Well, I mean, obviously, any watch, I'm making fun of this, but I mean, any, even Apple products always have a disclaimer about battery life. And of course, you're not going to get 4 days, you know,
like,
out of that with LTE.
I'm honestly surprised that they're actually claiming that. Like, unless they've made some kind of absurd breakthrough that I'm unaware of. Well, then again, that watch is pretty big, and I think
the battery may just be larger due to the sheer size of it.
It's what, 300 mAh?
380.
380.
So how big is the bed? Do you know what it is on the Apple Watch? Let's look it up
right
now.
The watch is like 240
something. Okay, so it's got to be a bigger physical size to fit that.
Yeah.
Bigger watch, bigger battery. That makes sense. I mean, Apple could make a slightly larger version of the Apple Watch. I don't think they would. I'm not saying, but they could.
Like, I think the new Apple Watch battery is like, they've gone to like 300 and something, and previously it was like 200 and something. So, I mean, there will be a leap in battery life for the new watch, but
I like that it says resistant to water and dust. The Apple Watch isn't, doesn't claim any such thing.
They don't claim it, but it is.
And then it says, not suitable for swimming or diving. Well, that's what water resistance means. You don't dive with it.
Well, there's water resistance and then there's waterproof. Yeah. It's kind of a sliding scale.
Right. Water resistance so meaning it's like it'll water, survive like a rainstorm, but you don't jump
in the
ocean
shower.
With it.
Yeah.
Well, you don't jump in the ocean with it.
Yeah.
Title, don't jump in the ocean with it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, battery life is what it is. It's hard to say, but cramming an LTE chip in there, it's like, that is just, no.
So you're going to give me the TLDR for the Apple event since I will not be available to watch it live on Wednesday?
Yeah, I mean, so much of it's a question mark right now, but I mean, at the very least, yes, iPhone 7, yes, iPhone 7 Plus. iPhone 7 Plus has a dual lens camera that they will claim beats entry-level DSLRs. They'll give a bunch of examples.
Yeah. No, there will be all that, but we don't know if there's going to be new MacBook Pros announced, right? Which are long overdue.
It's looking likely that there will not be an announcement.
So they'll probably just do some...
They'll probably do some kind of press thing where an embargo lifts and then everyone's like, whoa, new MacBooks.
They don't need an event for that, though.
They don't really.
It will get a lot of coverage just by the fact that it's going to be a major redesign, right? Everyone's going to cover that.
Yeah. I mean, Apple, like, this is the thing. Apple's on Twitter now. They've started tweeting.
Yes, from their Apple. They've resurrected the Apple account.
Yeah, they've had at Apple for a while now. Now they're verified, and now they have the Apple event invite background image as their header image. And they sent out a promoted tweet today all about tuning in for the event next week. And if you retweet it with... hashtag Apple event, it actually sends a promoted reply at you.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Thanks you show, for...
If you go right to the twitter.com/Apple, it says no tweets yet.
Yeah. Promoted ad tweets are essentially invisible. They don't appear in the normal timeline.
I'm not following this account.
So my guess is they're going to live tweet the event next week. And then it would actually be a good avenue to announce the new MacBook. Because they could just be all, hey, everybody, check out the new MacBook Pro in stores at the end of the week or something. And then they do like a cool trailer that they post on Vimeo or their YouTube page or something. And then everyone goes and views it and they see this awesome new MacBook Pro. And then the store gets updated with details on it. And apple.com/MacBook Pro gets updated. And it's like, whoa. And then it's available in stores that Friday or something. Like, I could easily see them going that route where it's like they tweet it and simultaneously there's a review or preview on The Verge, Ars Technica, John Gruber, et cetera, et cetera.
Gruber tends to get early access to the hardware and because he always loves doing like an in-depth review of whatever new MacBook.
Yeah.
Comes out.
So he'll probably be invited. I would guess that
private session.
Yeah.
And Jim Dalrymple from the Loop as well. Same thing.
Yeah. He got invited last time. So yeah, it'll be him, Gruber, probably a select group from like The Verge and yeah. And then there'll be like simultaneous embargo releases where everybody posts their hands-on at the same time, and then Apple tweets, check out the new MacBook Pro in stores Friday, and that'll be that. Like, that seems to be where they're going with it, and I think that's just fine. Like, if they don't have enough time next week to talk about it, then it makes sense to do it that way. Because I think next week's event is probably just going to be jam-packed with the iPhone, the Apple Watch, Watch OS, iOS, because they always take the time to do demos for the new software as well. So, I mean, the event will probably go something like this. They'll give an update about the Apple stores, because they always do. Then they'll probably have some cheesy thing about either environmentalism or diversity or something. They'll do like a segment where they talk about how they're doing great in something. I don't know, in previous years, sometimes they've done like, well, we've got so much to announce. We're just going to skip everything and go ahead to the stuff. So either they do that or they just go right to the iPhone, and the iPhone will consist of promo video with cool new song, then Johnny Ive White Room video. Then they'll have a segment where they talk about the camera specifically, maybe with some kind of highlight reel where they give the iPhone 7 Plus to a bunch of crazy photographers and it's like, wow, this camera's amazing, blah, 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 blah. It can outdo $500 DSLRs. Now you don't need to buy those. Pro photography is now in the reach of everybody, etc. Then they'll cover the headphones because they have to. They'll talk about the headphone jack being gone and why Lightning is awesome and why wireless is awesome. And then they'll announce the new Beats and they'll announce the AirPods. And then they'll announce pricing, what's in the box, et cetera, et cetera. First wave of countries, maybe the second wave of countries, dates. Then they'll start on the watch, whatever the watch is. I have no idea. Like, we know GPS is in it. There may be additional health sensors. It may be slightly thinner. They might announce new band types, certainly new band colors, maybe a new partnership with somebody. Like, they've got the Hermes Apple Watch. They might have a new brand lined up for that. Yeah. There you go. Apple event in 60 seconds.
And
you can probably make a bingo square based on what I just said.
I can't believe I fell for this, but just looping back to the Samsung battery thing for a second on loopinsight.com.
Oh.
There was a post on, today, the title of the headline says, "A fix for Samsung exploding batteries." And then it says, "You're welcome, Samsung users." And when I clicked on it, it just goes to apple.com/iPhone.
Yep. Yeah, they're
well played, sir. Well played.
Indeed. So yeah, that's pretty much the Apple event next week in however long I talked for. Was it 60 seconds? I don't know.
Something like that.
But yeah.
Maybe a little bit longer.
You can make a bingo card off of it.
Yeah.
You'll probably get bingo pretty quick.
Well, we're right up on an hour. Just about 3-4 minutes left.
Okay. And then finally, I guess we should talk about Nintendo. There's a new report from the Polygon that says the NX will have cartridges, not discs.
Cartridges?
Yes.
That doesn't make any sense. We're going back to cartridges now?
It makes sense if you consider two things. One, the console is a portable. All of their handheld devices have always had cartridges.
Right. Of course, you can't have a Blu-ray disc in a portable console.
Yeah. Sony tried that with the PSP and look how that went.
The UMD discs.
Oh,
right?
God, those were awful. And the battery
life.
Never
tried it.
Like, the thing is, the battery life's terrible because it's constantly having to use a laser to read off the disc, right? So, and I mean, these won't be your traditional cartridges, right? They'll be like SD card / flash memory.
Sure.
They'll be fast. They'll be
no,
high storage.
No moving parts.
No moving parts. Difficult to break. So yeah, like it seems to me that this effectively confirms that the NX will be a handheld device.
Hmm.
More or less. I mean,
I don't mind that. I think it makes sense if that's what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. Like, if it's a handheld console, then cartridges make sense.
Right. And hopefully there are internal storage options so people can...
Presumably,
what if I only want to buy stuff off the online store?
Yeah. There will likely
be. Like, the Vita has proprietary memory card, which sucks, but hopefully the NX has expandable storage.
Yeah, it'll probably mirror the 3DS, where it's got internal storage, and then you can put a micro SD into it to expand it. I think it'll start with quite a lot, and they may even do tiers based on how much storage you want. They might do like a cheaper 32 gig and then have a 64 gig.
You think it would
be
micro SD is what they would use? Is that what everyone's using now?
Yeah, that's what the 3DS uses right now.
I'm just looking at prices
because
you would want, if you're going to buy digital only, you would want at least 256 gigabytes, but that might get expensive.
Yeah, the 3DS can only currently address up to 128, I think. Or 64. I forget. I have a 64.
Oh, maybe not. On Amazon, I found some Chinese micro SD card, generic brand, 256 gigabytes, $49.99. That's actually really reasonable. They've come down in price.
Yeah, they have.
Actually, you know what?
SanDisk.
SanDisk is a big flash manufacturer.
Yep.
And they have, they're more expensive, but they do have a 200 gig model for $100. So they've come down in price.
Yep. Yeah, big time. I think I actually have a SanDisk in my 3DS. But yeah, like flash memory is getting cheaper all the time. And as it stands right now, the current cartridge tech that they have for the 3DS can store, I think it's like 32 gigs, which is like half of a Blu-ray.
Yeah. I don't know what the speed is though of those micro, like
it's flash memory. So it's extremely fast, okay. but there's no loading off disk. It's
no,
just
I know, but it also, what also could impact that is the connection in the chipset between the SD card that's and the actual all the other IO, right? Just like an SSD drive is only as fast as the bandwidth on the PCI bus, right?
Right, but I mean this will essentially be a mobile device, so it'll all be like really hyper fast flash memory that's like wired directly into the motherboard. And yeah, like it'll effectively be like instantaneous SATA 3 speed or whatever. So that shouldn't be a problem. Like games will load way faster on the NX than they do. Like assuming the graphics are as good as the PS4 or the Xbox One, or at least somewhat comparable, games for the NX will load way faster.
Sure.
Like we're talking iPhone app launch speeds.
And we don't have to worry about this for another year because the NX is not being released till 2017. So just imagine how much cheaper micro SDs would be next year.
I mean, we say a year, but it's March.
Okay. It's March. Not quite a year. And I'm sure Nintendo will sell their own branded expandable storage.
Possibly.
It probably will not be as cheap as
so far, like with the 3DS, they haven't really bothered because there's so many brands out there where you can just buy whatever you want.
Actually, speaking of the 3DS, can you use third party? Does Nintendo make their own SD cards for that? It's not proprietary.
Yeah, no. It's literally a micro SD slot. So yeah,
but that does not concern me.
They don't sell their own. They just let you buy whatever you want.
I think that was one of the biggest design flaws with the Vita is that Sony insisted on proprietary flash storage, which makes no sense.
Well,
and then they charge like $1 billion.
Because then it was also their cartridges, right? So like the games would come on those little memory sticks, which was absurd to me. But oh well,
the teeny tiny little memory card.
Yeah. I'm thinking the NX cartridges will probably be slightly bigger than the current 3DS ones. Well, you need to be able
like, they can be physically...
Well, the 3DS ones are decent.
Yeah.
I think the NX ones will probably be slightly bigger just to accommodate more memory. Like, I think at minimum, they're going to need to get up to 64 gigs or something for the cartridges. So they'll probably be slightly bigger, but still fairly small. Like, it won't be a big deal. And the NX... if the leaks are correct, is basically a tablet. So, I mean, having a little cartridge port on the side or the top, no big deal. So, yeah, should be interesting. Supposedly, they are going to finally unveil the NX at some point between now and the end of the year. Could be this month.
Yeah, which you talked about, I think, a few episodes ago, because they have to give lead time. To developers, right? Or no, but developers would have had it already.
Yeah, developers already have it under heavy NDA. Like, it'll be in development studios around the world already. And they'll be working on launch titles. Like, we know, obviously, Zelda Breath of the Wild is going to be a launch title, but there's probably going to be a ton more. I think the new upcoming Sonic game is going to be an NX launch title. Because that's targeted for like early 2017. And they mentioned that it'll be on NX in the trailer. So, yeah. It's going to be interesting to see what it actually is after all this time.
You've been listening to The Impromptu. I'm here with Michael Norton. As always, I'm Alex Knight. If you'd like to show your support for this podcast, please head over to patreon.com/hologramradio and become a regular monthly donator like some of the other lovely people that are contributing to what we do here because what we do costs money. That's right, people. Hosting, server costs, all that sort of stuff. So please head over and give what you can. You can subscribe to the podcast in your favorite podcast player of choice to ensure you get every new episode each and every week. And please leave a review for our lovely show in iTunes. I know it's a pain. I know we ask every week, but it really does help other people discover our podcast. You can follow the show on Twitter. We're at The Impromptu. Michael Norton is at Zen Impulse. And I am at Zero Distraction. You can follow us on Facebook as well if you just type in Hologram Radio. Check out some of the other great shows on our network, which is also growing, by the way. And you can send us feedback the old-fashioned way to theimpromptu@hologramradio.org. And those emails will go both to Michael and myself.
And on that note, thanks for listening, everyone. See you next time.